All right, let's open our Bibles again to Isaiah 42. Isaiah 42. I'm going to read the first four verses and then go to another place in Scripture which reveals to you of whom the prophet speaks quite clearly. Let's look at the first four verses. Behold my servant, whom I uphold, mine elect, in whom my soul delighteth. I put my spirit upon him. He shall bring forth judgment to the Gentiles. He shall not cry, nor lift up, nor cause his voice to be heard in the street. And a bruised reed shall he not break, and the smoking flax shall he not quench. And he shall bring forth judgment unto truth. And he shall not fail, nor be discouraged till he hath set judgment in the earth, and the isles wait for his law. This is another one of those chapters in Isaiah which can only apply to our Messiah. I call this message the Messiah, and it can only apply to Christ. And we can be sure of that because Christ applied it to himself in Matthew 12. Turn over to Matthew 12. Here's the Lord Jesus speaking, and he quotes the scripture in reference to himself. In Matthew 12, beginning with verse 14, then the Pharisees went out and held a council against him, how they might destroy him. But when Jesus knew it, he withdrew himself from thence. Great multitudes followed him, and he healed them all, and charged them that they should not make him known, that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, I just read it, behold my servant, whom I have chosen, my beloved, he says, mine elect, over in Isaiah, my elect, my beloved son, in whom my soul is well pleased. I'll put my spirit upon him, and he shall show judgment to the Gentiles. He shall not strive nor cry, neither shall any man hear his voice in the streets. A bruised reed shall he not break, and smoking flax shall he not quench, till he send forth judgment unto victory. And in his name shall the Gentiles trust. So our Lord, like he did Isaiah 61, he's saying, this day is this scripture fulfilled in your ears. All right, back to my text, Isaiah 42. Behold my servant. Now, who's speaking here? Well, it's the Lord God. Look at verse 5. Thus saith the God the Lord. That's who's speaking, he that created the heavens. Look at verse 6. I, the Lord, have called thee in righteousness. Look at verse 8. I am the Lord, that is my name, my glory will I not give to another. So it's the Lord God, the Heavenly Father, that's speaking. And he's speaking concerning the Lord Jesus Christ. And right at the onset, in verse 1, he calls him my servant. Behold, my servant. Now, our Lord was with God. He was God. And all things were made by him. And he wears on his vesture and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. But here, the Father calls him my servant. Behold, my servant, my servant. And that's what Paul's talking about when he said, he that thought it not robbery to be equal with God made himself of no reputation, took on himself the form of a servant. A servant. Christ said, I am among you as he that serveth. My servant, the Father says, and several times in the Scripture, he's called the servant. But in Isaiah 52, he said, behold, my servant shall deal prudently, wisely, and shall prosper. In Isaiah 53, by his knowledge shall my righteous servant justify many. Zechariah 3:8, behold, I send forth my servant, the branch. Oh, there's no question about concerning whom the Lord is speaking, the branch. God will raise up a branch, Jeremiah said, and his name shall be called the Lord our righteousness. So the Father chose him. The Father prepared him a body. And the Father sent him to earth as his servant to accomplish a mission, fulfill a covenant, and redeem a people. My servant. All right, the second statement, he said, whom I uphold. What's that saying? Whom I uphold. Whom I strengthen. And whom I give help to. Now, well, the question arises, if Jesus Christ is God Almighty, why does he need help? Why does he need to be upheld? Why does he need to be strengthened? Well, I'll tell you why. Because he's a man. He's the man, Christ Jesus. Because he has a human nature in a human body. And to accomplish such an awesome task as the Father hath given to him, he must be upheld and strengthened in order that he might not sink under the weight of our sins and the wrath of God. Let me show you that in Psalm 22. Now, all of you who are familiar with the Word of God knows that Psalm 22 is the Psalm of the Cross. And it is believed that these are the words that our Lord spake while he was hanging on that tree. This is the cross. You see from the very first verse, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? That's the words of the cross. All right, let's move on down to verse 16. Here's why he needs help. Listen. Psalm 22:16, there's a man hanging on that cross in a human nature, God in human flesh. Dogs, for dogs have compassed me. The assembly of the wicked have enclosed me. They pierced my hands and my feet. They drove nails in my hands and my feet. I may tell all my bones. He stretched on that cross, and you could see his bones through the up against the skin. And they look and stare upon me. They took off his clothes and hung him there naked. They parted my garments among them and cast lots upon my vesture. That's his clothing, his robe, his vesture. Oh, but be not far from me, O Lord, O my strength. Haste thee to help me. Deliver my soul from the sword. My darling from the power of the dog. Save me from the lion's mouth. For thou hast heard me from the horns of the unicorns. Save me, help me. Help me. Let me turn to a verse over here in Luke 22. If you'd like to, you can turn with me. Luke 22. My servant, whom I uphold, I sent him to perform a task, and I'll give him strength to do it. In Luke 22, verse 39, listen. In Luke 22:39, and he came out and went as he was wont to the Mount of Olives. His disciples also followed him. And when he was at the place, he said to them, now pray that you enter not into temptation. And he was withdrawn from them about a stone's cast. And he kneeled down and prayed, saying, Father, if thou be willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. There appeared an angel unto him from heaven, strengthening him. And being in agony, he prayed more earnestly. He sweat as it were. His sweat was as it were great drops of blood falling down to the ground. That's the agony of Gethsemane. Behold, the Father said, my servant, whom I uphold. All right, back at the text. Mine elect. Mine elect in whom my soul delighteth. Now, I wrote down here on my notes, the next several words which apply to Christ ought to give us the greatest cheer and hope and encouragement of any words. Now let's look at them carefully. Mine elect. Mine elect is a man. That's right, he's a man. God has chosen men, not angels. Paul wrote in Hebrews, he took not on him the nature of angels, but he took upon him the seed of Abraham. Christ became a man. That's right. By man came death. By man came the resurrection. The first man is of the earth earthy. The second man is the Lord from heaven. And there's one God, and there's one mediator, only one, between God and men, and that's the man. The man. Pilate said, behold, the man. He didn't know what he was saying. I do. The man from heaven. The second Adam is the man from heaven. All right, mine elect. And he chose us in Christ, in that man. He gave us to that man in a covenant of mercy to be our surety, our guarantor, to come down here, the just for the unjust, and die for us and bring us to God, suffer for sin in the flesh, and bring us to God. My servant, whom I'll uphold, mine elect, listen to this, in whom my soul delighteth. This is my beloved Son. The Father, who cannot be pleased with any flesh, for in the flesh no man can please God, but this man did. This man did. Our man, our substitute. This is my beloved Son, in whom I'm well pleased. Christ said, he that sent me is with me, for I do always those things that please him. Father, he said, thou hast had no pleasure in burnt offerings and sacrifices, but lo, I come to do thy will, O God. In the book it's written of me, a body hast thou prepared me. And he pleased the Father. Oh, my. He pleased the Father. All right, look at the next line. Mine elect, in whom my soul delighteth. The Father's pleased with him and pleased with us in him. I'll put my spirit upon him. That's what he said in Isaiah 61. Turn over there and let's read that. Isaiah 61, the Savior said, the Messiah said in Isaiah 61:1, the Spirit of the Lord God's upon me. I put my spirit upon him. He said, the Spirit of the Lord God's upon me, because he, the Lord, hath anointed me to preach good tidings to the meek. He sent me to bind up the brokenhearted. He sent me to proclaim liberty to the captives and opening of prison to them that are bound. He sent me to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. Now is the accepted time. Today is the day of salvation and the day of vengeance of our God. He sent me to comfort all that mourn, to appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, to give them beauty for their ashes, the oil of joy for their mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they might be called the trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, in all these that he might be glorified. Amen. Look at the next statement. It says here, and he shall bring forth judgment, justice to the Gentiles. What is that? He'll bring forth justice. He'll satisfy God's justice. He'll bring forth righteousness. He'll give us a perfect holiness before God. And he'll reveal truth. That's what the Amplified says here. He'll bring forth justice, righteousness, and truth to all nations. Now then, what are his offices? Over in the Old Testament, our Lord is pictured and typified by three offices. There was the prophet, of which Moses is a good example and type. There was a priest, Aaron. A better type is Melchizedek. There was the king, David. that our Lord, no man ever held all three of those offices. Moses was not a king. Aaron was not a prophet or a king. But our Lord Jesus is the prophet who brings the truth. He is the priest who satisfies judgment and justice. And he's the king of righteousness. Righteousness is the scepter of his kingdom. So that's a good hope. Behold, my servant, whom I uphold, strengthen, keep mine elect, the man Christ Jesus, in whom my soul delights, the Father said. And I put my spirit upon him, and he shall bring forth judgment. He shall not fail. Why do the Gentiles, all nations, that's right, not just the Jews, but that's good news there, the Gentiles. Go through the Old Testament, that's not said too many times. It's just said once, it's enough. But the Gentiles have a hope in Christ. All right, verse 2. He shall not cry. He shall not cry. He shall not lift up, nor cause his voice to be heard in the streets. What's he talking about here? Well, he does not cry out. He does not have to raise his voice to be heard. I have to raise my voice to be heard. But he doesn't have to raise his voice to be heard because he speaks to the heart by his spirit. It's like when Paul was preaching to Lydia. Paul spoke to her, and he probably lifted up his voice and had to speak loudly because they were beaten by a river and the rushing stream or the noise and so forth. But Lydia had somebody speak to her. Spoke to her heart. He doesn't have to cry. The Lord Jesus doesn't have to yell and scream and put on a show. He speaks to the heart. He doesn't have to cry. When they hear his voice, when my sheep hear my voice, may not be a word being said, but they hear him. He doesn't have to cry. And he doesn't have to strive. He doesn't have to strive. Let me show you back over here. Let me just go to it. I read that a while ago where the Lord quoted this scripture, and he said that, he shall not, you know, here it says he shall not cry nor lift up his voice, but the Lord quoted it this way. He said he shall not strive. He'll not cry. He doesn't have to. He speaks to the heart. But he'll not strive with people, with words, to no profit. He doesn't argue. He doesn't drive home points. He doesn't bring accusations. He just speaks. That's all. We hear his voice speak through his word. That's right. And then he says he doesn't cry. He doesn't lift up nor cause his voice to be heard in the street. He doesn't raise a lot of commotion. Today's religionists do. They campaign in the streets with standards and flags and signs and marches and crowds to support their cause. But his kingdom's not of this world. And his real enemies are not the people of this world. They're principalities and powers and rulers of the darkness and spiritual wickedness in high places. That's who he deals with. He deals with sin in the heart. He deals with the influence and power of Satan and people who are under the influence of Satan. And his people are his people. And they've always been his people. And he says, I know who they are. I know who they are. I know who they are. And they'll be made willing when I please. We need to learn that. We need to learn what he's saying right here. My servant, sent on a mission to redeem a people whom I'll give the strength, the Lord God said. He's mine elect. He's my man. God man. And I delight in everything he says and everything he does. And I put my spirit on him. And he'll bring judgment and righteousness and truth, prophet, priest, and king to the all nations. And he doesn't have to go around yelling and screaming. lifting up his voice and striving with people, nor marching the streets. The kings of this earth have to put on some kind of show so people will know they're running for office, you know, and put their signs in every yard. He doesn't do that. Our Lord works in the spirit, in the heart, by his word. If he's on your trail, he'll get you. You hear him too. And listen to this. And a bruised reed he'll not break, and a smoking flax he'll not quench. Well, now, if I can show you what this means, what is a bruised reed and what is a smoking flax? If I can show you what that means, you'll rejoice in his grace. Well, a bruised reed is a plant. A reed is a stem. And you fellas that plant gardens and have tomato plants and corn and all that, you'll identify with this. That reed is the stem, and sometimes it gets stepped on. Sometimes when you hoe and you hit the wrong where you wasn't aiming, and you get one of those little plants, and it's bruised, it's bent over, and it's almost broke. It's so sickly looking, the rest of them look so good, and it looks so sickly looking that. But now he runs into a lot of those bruised reeds. Our Lord came to save the weak and the helpless and the bruised reeds and mangled by the fall. And he doesn't just finish, well, just might as well pull it up. It's not going to mount to anything. Might as well just get it out of the way. But he doesn't do that. A bruised reed he'll not break. But the bruised reed, he'll bind it up. And he'll give it strength and give it life. And he'll make it live. And he'll make it bear fruit. And he'll get all the glory for that. A bruised reed. Come unto me, all ye that weary and heavy laden, bruised and mangled by the fall. Let not conscience make you linger, nor fitness fondly dream. All the fitness he requires is to be in need of him and his healing hand. So a bruised reed he doesn't break. People of this earth don't have much time for the weak and the weary and the worn and the heavy laden and folks that are nothing and nobodies. But he does. What's a smoking flax? Well, that's the wick of a candle. The candle wick is made out of flax. And here's one that's not got much light, not giving out any light to mount anything. All it's doing is smoking. It doesn't flame, doesn't give out much light. It's just sputtering and smoking and smelly and offensive. That's a pretty good description of us, isn't it? Well, he doesn't quench it. He doesn't pull the wick out or throw the candle away. But he gives it oil to burn brighter. All to burn brighter. That's what he said in Matthew 11. He said, Father, I thank you. You've hid these things from the wise and prudent, and you revealed it to the bruised reeds and the smoking lamps. You revealed it to babes. For even so, Father, it seemed good in your sight. You come to me, all ye that are in need, heavy laden, I'll give you rest. That's what he's saying then. A bruised reed shall he not break, a smoking flax shall he not quench. Quench it, throw it away. And he'll bring forth judgment unto truth. Judgment unto truth. Judgment unto victory. Let's go back to Matthew 12 again. When you find the scripture in the Old Testament, you turn over there to the New Testament where that scripture is used and dealt with, like our Lord dealt with this one. Look at verse 20, Matthew 12. A bruised reed shall he not break. This is Christ speaking himself. A smoking flax shall he not quench until he send forth judgment unto victory. Until he'll not, that when he comes on that bruised reed, and that smoking flax, he's not going to quench it or break it. He's not going to do that till until he sends forth his gospel into the heart by his mighty spirit and power, and justifies them and enlightens them, enlightens their understanding, bends their wills, raises their affection, sanctifies their soul, and brings them victory. Victory. Paul closed that scripture over there in 1 Corinthians, I believe. Let me see if I can find it. No, it's in Romans. Listen to him. Listen to him. I delight in the law after the inward man, but I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind, and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members. Oh, wretched man that I am, oh, bruised reed and smoking flax, who shall deliver me? Who shall give me the victory from this body of this death? I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then with the mind, I serve the law, I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh, the law of sin. Thanks be unto God who giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. All right, back to my text. This servant of God, a bruised reed shall he not break, and a smoking flax shall he not quench. He'll fend forth judgment unto the truth. Victory. What's verse 4? He shall not fail. He shall not fail nor be discouraged. The Amplified Bible says he shall not fail. He shall not become weak. He shall not become discouraged until he sets judgment in the earth. Can we ever entertain such a thought that the Father could fail in his purpose? He says over here in Isaiah 46, turn over there and let's read Isaiah 46, verse 9. Could the Father fail in his purpose? He purposed redemption. He's the one that raised up this servant, his elect, and sent him. Look at verse 9, Isaiah 46. Remember the former things of old. I'm God. There's none else. I'm God. There's none like me. Declaring the end from the beginning and from ancient times the things that are not yet done, saying, my counsel shall stand. I will do all my pleasure. Calling a ravenous bird from the east, the man of righteousness from the east, the man that executeth my counsel from a far country. I've spoken it. I'll bring it to pass. I purposed it. I'll do it. He shall not fail. The Father shall not fail in his divine purposes. Abraham, that was the basis of his faith. He believed that what God had promised, God was able to fulfill. And then the Son. Turn to Isaiah 53. Shall he fail in what he came to do? Shall this, Isaiah 53, let's look at this. Is there any, can we even entertain a thought that he could fail? Listen to Isaiah 53, verse 10. It pleased the Lord to bruise him. He hath put him to grief. When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin, he shall, now listen to the shalls here, he shall see his seed. He shall prolong his days. And the pleasure, the purpose, the covenant of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. He shall see of the travail of his soul, and he shall be satisfied, and by his knowledge shall my righteous servant justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities. Therefore will I divide him a portion with the great, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he poured out his soul unto death. He was numbered with the transgressors. He bare the sin of many and made intercession for the transgressors. Is all this in vain? Did Christ perform this work and it shall not be fulfilled? He shall not fail. He shall not be discouraged till he set judgment in this earth. What about the Holy Spirit? Turn to John 16. Here our Lord promises the Holy Spirit in John 16. John 16, beginning with verse 7. John 16, 7. Now, nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It's expedient for you that I go away. But if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I'll send him to you. I'll send him to you. Just like the Father sent me to redeem you, and I'll send the Spirit to you. And when he's come, he'll reprove the world of sin, righteousness, and judgment. Of sin, because they believe not on me. Of righteousness, because I go to my Father and you see me no more. Of judgment, because the prince of this world is judged. Now, I have many things to say to you, but you can't bear them now. Howbeit, now listen, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. He shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he'll show you things to come. Will he fail? He shall glorify me, for he shall receive of mine and shall show it to you. The Lord cannot fail. My servant, mine elect, shall not fail nor be discouraged till he set judgment in this world. All the isles. Let me go back to that Matthew 12 just a moment. I wrote that down here for some. Matthew 12, he shall set judgment in the earth, and the isles wait for his law. The islands are to other nations, other people. Yeah, that's what it is. Listen. Matthew 12, 20, a bruised reed shall he not break, smoking flax shall he not quench, till he set forth judgment unto victory. He will accomplish the victory. And in his name shall the Gentiles trust. That's what that's saying over here. He shall not fail nor be discouraged, so he set judgment in the earth, and they are waiting for his word, his people. He said, other sheep I have which are not of this fold, and them I must bring, and they shall hear my voice, and they shall be one fold, one shepherd. Other sheep which are not of this Jewish fold, Gentiles, and his name, the Gentiles, shall trust in his name, because they waiting for it. All right, he shall not fail. I want to read a scripture and then one more comment before we go. Turn to 1 Corinthians 15. Here is the fulfillment and the accomplishment of all these things we're talking about. He shall not fail, he shall not be discouraged till he set judgment, victory in this earth, and the isles wait for his law. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 24. Now let's go back to 21. For since by man came death, by man, God's servant, God's elect, Christ Jesus, the Messiah, came also the resurrection of the dead. For in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. But every man in his own order, Christ the first fruits, Christ the first fruits, first begotten, first born from the dead, to die no more. Afterward, they that are his at his coming. Then cometh the end. Then cometh the end, when he shall have delivered up the kingdom, the covenant kingdom, to God, even the Father. When he shall have put down all rule, all authority, and all power. For he must reign. He always has. He does now. He will. He must reign till he hath put all enemies under his feet. And then the last enemy that shall be destroyed is death. For he hath put all things under his feet. God's put all things under the feet of Christ. That's where he said, I have all authority over all flesh, that I should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given me. The Father's put everything, in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, everything under his feet. Now read on. But when it says, when he says all things are put under his feet, it's manifest that one is accepted. One's not under his feet. Manifested that he's accepted, which did put all things under. The Father's not under his feet. But everybody else is, and everything else is, and everything that wiggles or moves, and every creature is under his feet. in his power, in his possession, used for his glory. And when all things shall be subdued unto him, to the Son, then shall the Son also himself be subject unto him that put all things under him, that God may be all and in all. Now, is there any thought that he could fail? These are the shalls and the wills. He shall not fail. He shall not fail. He shall not be discouraged till he set judgment and victory in this earth. And all his people out there, his sheep that are yet to be called, they're waiting on his word. They're waiting, and he'll come. And then when everyone's been called, then comes the end. When everybody's been brought in, then comes the end. And he'll deliver up the kingdom to the Father. Way back yonder in eternity, the Father gave him that kingdom. He came down and accomplished it. He's going to take it. He's going to bring us to God. He's not going to fail. Well, now, who said all this? Let's close with verse 5. How do you know all this is true? Who's going to guarantee all this? Well, let's see who guarantees it. What we've been saying, what we've been preaching, thus saith the Lord God. Thus saith the Lord God. Who is he? He created the heavens and stretched them out. That's who says it. The one that created the heavens. Stretched them out. Said, let there be light. Also, the one who spread the earth. He said, let the dry land appear. Let the water be separated from the land. That's who says this. That's who says all this about Christ. Thirdly, he's the one that spread out forth the earth and everything comes out of it. He grows everything that grows. That's right. Every seed. Seed has life in it. He put that life there. We plant, we water, and we sow. God gives the increase. Everything comes up. Everything that lives, everything that wiggles and moves, lives and moves and has their being in him. That's who said this. And he that giveth breath unto the people upon the earth, every man breathing, breathes by the will of God. And he set their bounds, the last breath, set the number of months with him, they cannot pass. He gives breath to everything living. He created man, he created everything, and gives breath to the people. And he gives us more than breath and spirit. He gives his spirit to his people. The Holy Spirit begets them unto life. That's who said all this. That's who said, I'm going to pick up there Sunday, I think. I, the Lord, have called thee in righteousness, and I'll hold your hand, and I'll keep you, and give you for a covenant of the people, for light to the Gentiles, to open the blind eyes. He opened ours, didn't he? Bring the prisoners out of the prison. He delivered us, them that sit in darkness, out of the prison. I'm the Lord. That's my name. That's my name. But now remember this, my glory I'm not going to give to anybody else. And neither my praise to another god or brazen graven image. I know whom I have believed. Let's sing that. That's number 224. I know whom I have believed. Number 224.